Please rise for the pledge. Do the visitor section. Fern Spies.
That's it. Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm here tonight to thank the board for the tremendous help that they gave to us on the Sachem at 50 committee. Without certain members like David Aronow, we would never have had our journal published. Thank you again, David. And Tony Falco, we would never have had our music. Thank you. And Jim and Rich, we're going to miss you. Thank you for your tremendous efforts on our behalf this year. And we had a very successful series of events thanks to you people. Thank you.
Thank you, Fern. Barbara Cottrell.
Good evening. I'm Barbara Cottrell. I'm a group leader of the child care program, both at Grundy AM program and Tecumseh PM. I'm here on myself and on behalf of all the staff from the child care program to request raises for this coming year. We did not get any in the current year because the budget wasn't passed. I do have a copy of what we had been promised, and I'm hoping that you will consider at least that amount, if not more, for this year.
Thank you. Jeff Nielsen.
Hello. My name is Jeff Nielsen. I'm here on behalf of the Sachem Gymnastics team. Here today on behalf of the Sachem Gymnastics varsity team. I was shocked recently to hear that there was no plans to have a men's gymnastics program of any kind next fall. Being that next year is my senior year, this is especially disappointing to me. Tonight, I'm here to ask the board for anything in terms of reinstating the program. The least we would ask is for a club team to continue training. Many of the teammates have given up football, soccer, cross-country, etc., to participate with gymnastics. And cutting the program would leave them high and dry. The argument that we have no one to compete against is untrue. Upstate, in areas like Albany and Rochester, there are as few as one teams in the county, and we have competed against those teams for the past 30 years. Therefore, even if we only have one team in Suffolk County, Section 11 should allow us to continue competing against those other teams. Getting rid of the gymnastics team will not solve any problems for Sachem. The most costly part of a gymnastics program is purchasing the equipment to train, which we already own. Therefore, there's no enormous amount of cost to Sachem. Also, the cancellation of our program should not be a solution to problems with other sports. The team has run successfully for nearly 30 years now, bringing home an endless supply of state and county championship titles. Personally, I feel this team is one of our greatest groups of individuals our school has to offer. Being an incredibly demanding sport, gymnastics has molded me into the student I am today. Sorry. Oh, all right, I'll speak from my head. A lot of the students on the team are scholar athletes. They're all great kids. We're like a family. They've been there for all of each other in the past. A lot of tough things have happened to many of the guys on the team in the past several years especially, and everyone's been there for everyone. It's really important to me personally. It's made me, you know, hardworking, determined, built a ton of self-confidence in myself. And I just feel that these are goals that Sachem is trying to instill in the students in the district. And getting rid of this program would be getting rid of something that is making, giving our students good character. And so, I would ask that the board either get back to me or Mr. Ricciardi at Sachem East, his substitute teacher, in terms of this situation. I'd really appreciate it. Not a great public speaker, so thank you for enduring this.
Thank you, Jeff. Will you guys agree with him?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you, guys.
Jim. Just so the audience knows that the gymnastics program wasn't eliminated due to any budget restrictions or anything to that effect. It was basically comes down to all the other teams in the area have dropped out, so it just makes it difficult with Section 11 approving this and the Sachem having anyone locally to compete. Yes, Shaker High School, I hear from the boys. I think every day you guys email me to let me know, but Shaker High School is about 3 hours, 3.5 hours away from where we are, and they want to compete against them, which, you know, an afternoon trip up to Shaker might be a little challenging. But I understand where you're coming from, and I know you guys have that competitive spirit that, and Mr. Marble got back to one of your boys today because I saw the carbon copy on the email that he is going to look into a club situation at the high school.
Bob LaCourt.
Good evening, everyone. Dr. Murphy, Mr. Kiernan, Mr. Sayers, board members, and members of the cabinet. I'm here tonight to speak on behalf of the 1,500 plus members of the Sachem Central Teachers Association. As I'm sure you are aware, two of our bargaining units, the teacher assistant interpreters and teacher aides, have worked this entire school year without a settlement in their contract negotiations. Both sides have met many times in an attempt to resolve the issues at hand, but in February we had to declare impasse in the negotiations process. The negotiating team representing the district had remained inflexible in their discussions with us, which made it impossible to negotiate a fair and equitable settlement. On Thursday, May 25th, both sides met with a mediator for the first time in an attempt to close the gap between the two sides. While there was some progress on the teacher aid contract, little progress was made with the teacher assistants interpreters. We have another mediation session scheduled for both of these groups on Wednesday, June 28th. However, this session will prove to be fruitless for both sides unless your negotiating team is given the authority and direction by you to enter into serious discussions towards settlement of these contracts. I need you to discuss these matters in executive session and provide the clear direction we need to go forward to settle these contracts. We shouldn't have to begin the 2006-07 school year without a contract in place for these two groups. The third group under the umbrella of the SCTA are the 1,200 plus teachers whose contract is about to expire at the end of this month. We have been in negotiations with the district representatives since our first meeting back on February 16th. We've met a total of 6 times, totaling more than 15 hours. Both sides have presented their proposals and discussions have taken place relative to them. Both sides seem to have a clear understanding of the proposals, but we have also reached a stumbling block. At our last session on Monday, May 22nd, both sides agreed to cancel the next session, which was scheduled for last Wednesday, May 31st. In this situation, just like that with the teacher assistant interpreters and teacher aides, your negotiating team needs to be given a clear direction and authority to settle this contract. The SCTA and the district has been able to work together in a collective nature in the 2 years that I've been president, and I hope to continue that way. We worked through the difficult period of reconfiguration, and we fully embraced the K-12 realignment, the opening of two new schools, and the reorganization of much of our staff. We have discussed many issues that have developed, and for the most part, we've been able to reach a mutual agreement. We have actively participated in a complete overhaul of the observation and evaluation process for all members of all three bargaining units. We worked together to develop a new successful teacher orientation program prior to the start of the school year. We've worked together to improve the mentoring program, which is a requirement for all new teachers. And we've also worked together, department chair people, teachers, administrators, to streamline the educational course offerings on the secondary level. Simply stated, we've established an open and honest line of communication. Last year, the SCTA supported the unsuccessful attempt to pass the budget, and our members were there in the aftermath to try to provide the best educational environment and extracurricular activities we could provide under difficult conditions. This year, once again, the SCTA fully supported the budget, even though there are areas in which we have expressed our concerns. We knew the passage of this budget was critical to the financial stability of the district for next year and years to come. The community recognized that as well. Now it's time to move forward and address the contractual situations I have previously referred to. We need to focus our energies on providing the very best education to our students that they deserve in a workplace which is not compromised by labor unrest. We should be able to return to school in September with one clear direction. During the budget process, the community was told that there was funding set aside in the budget to settle the contractual obligations it is facing. Dr. Murphy, members of the board, I strongly urge you to do what is necessary to begin that new day for Sachem, as the budget brochure proclaimed. Thank you for providing me with an opportunity to speak with you this evening.
Thank you. Anybody else, Carol? Mr. Falco?
This is regards to the gymnastics situation. Once you've discussed this club situation with Mr. Marlborough, maybe there's something that SIAG, being a youth organization in the community, maybe there's something we could do to help you in that direction, whether it be insurance or whatever. But if you could leave your name with Carol, and whatever goes forward, let me know. Maybe we can help you out in some way. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. Personnel items, consent agenda for personnel items C1A through C1C. And a motion, please. Mr. Falco and Mr. Boddy, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried, unanimous. Dr. Murphy?
On the personnel items today, we have four new administrators to add to our district. I believe all four are here tonight. Yes, they are. First, and I'd like to just introduce Bradley Johnson. He's going to be our new administrative assistant for music and the fine arts. Bradley's currently a chairperson at West Babylon School District. In that role, he is in charge of the concert and marching band, and Bradley also oversees the cultural arts program at West Babylon. He's developed a curriculum there that has been adopted by State of Education Department, and Brad is excited by the diverse opportunities afforded by Sachem students in both music and arts program. The opportunity to join the Sachem family is, and I didn't write this, truly music to his ears. So very nice, and I know Brad's going to catch up on some sleep now because at Sachem you're out 90 to 100 nights being the chairperson of music and the fine arts. So congratulations, Bradley. Welcome aboard. Next up, we have a new assistant principal, and this is Rory Manning, and he's going to be an assistant principal at Sachem High School East. Rory comes to Sachem from Levittown, where he's currently serving as the science chairperson, and that's an administrative position at Levittown. And Rory is a former Sachem student who is very honored and excited to give back to the district that gave so much to him. Aside from his love of biochemistry, Rory is an avid runner, and based upon what we've heard, we are confident that he will hit the ground running. Ba-dum-bump. And congratulations, Rory. Next up, our new assistant principal at Sachem High School North is Matt Murphy, no relation to Charles. Matt is joining Sachem assistant principal at North. Matt is currently the district math coordinator for South Country School District. Prior to that, Matt was a teacher of mathematics and a football coach at Smithtown. I know what Matt may be feeling right now, but Matt may be a little bit tired tonight because this week has been some new and exciting things in his life and in the Murphy families. Besides beginning a new administrative position at Sachem, he and his wife recently began a new chapter of their life and the birth of a new 10-pound, 8-ounce son last week. Last night I had a sonogram done, and my baby, is at 8 pounds 3 right now. So we're going for you, Matt. Well, God bless them both. And then last up today, we have a new assistant principal at Sagamore Middle School, and that's Patricia Trombetta. And Patty, as she's known, is currently an ELA language arts teacher and professional developer for the Oldfield Middle School within the Harborville School District. Patty's worked extensively with data analysis and improvement of student instruction. Patty was a collegial athlete and varsity field hockey coach. And like Rory, Patty is also a Sachem graduate eager to return home to give Sachem that competitive edge. And welcome aboard, Patty. So if this was Letterman, I'd throw it and hit the glass window behind me. But very good, Gail. Thank you.
All right, action items. Number one, resolution, Vanguard funds. Motion, please. Dr. Tenari, second. Mr. Boddy, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Bond resolution. Motion, please.
So moved.
Mr. Falco, second.
Second.
Deborah Slinkowski, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Stipulation of agreement, Domewell Restoration, Inc. Motion, please.
So moved.
Mr. Falco, a second. Dr. Tenari, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Approval for superintendent to attend the Harvard Institute for School Leadership Seminar. Motion, please. Dr. Tenari, second. Deborah Slinkowski, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Approval of elementary science coordinator for the 2006-2007 school year. Motion. Deborah Slinkowski, a second. Mike Boddy, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Approval of elementary principal's aide for science position for the 2006-2007 school year. Motion. Mr. Falco, a second. Deborah, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Approval for district participation in a first grade math curricular study for the 2006-2007 school year. Motion, please.
So moved.
Mr. Falco, a second.
Second.
Deborah, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Deborah had a question.
Deborah, question.
Have we done these types of studies in our district before, Jill?
We've done studies, but not through the state ed department.
And their success?
From what I understand from this math curricula group, that they have done studies before and have been very successful. The purpose of the study is to actually take our students here in Sachem and get the data back that which curriculum is best fits our students here. So we'll take a look at three different curriculums in four different schools to see which suits our children's needs the best.
I'm sorry, I thought there were four types of math curriculum. You decided to drop one?
There were originally four in the proposal from the state. The one company has dropped out at this point because their materials are being revised, and therefore next year we would not be, if we went to purchase them, we wouldn't be using the same materials ultimately in the end.
Okay, so these three programs are going to be distributed equally throughout the elementary schools, which means a set of four are going to be taught different, well, not different math curriculum. It's going to be the same curriculum. It's just the methodology in which they're being taught. Is that correct?
Exactly. There's three different programs, although they all follow New York State guidelines for math. However, the approaches the way they are delivering the curriculum vary in the sense that some are more hands-on approach, others focus more on critical thinking, and so they vary in that way. In taking a look at the materials, do I see now at this point that some seem stronger for us, possibly, but that we'll learn that throughout the study, and it's just for first grade at this point. But we will have the opportunity to push it into second grade next year because it'll take them some time to get the data back to us. All the materials are free for all of our first graders district-wide. Our teachers will be compensated and trained in all of the curriculums. So it's really an advantage to us to participate in something like this.
The only concern I had was that the eight elementary schools that won't have the advantage of knowing what curriculum you're going to select may be behind. I mean, I don't know how detrimental that will be on a first grade level, but do you see any adverse effects from not being taught the actual curriculum in which you're going to select after these 2 years are up?
I don't see it be an adverse effect, although it will mean that those first grade teachers probably 2 years down the road will have to be trained in a different approach or different method. So it will be different for those eight schools, and the other four will just continue on. However, we would really have to do this anyway because we really need to take another look at our math curriculum. But this is just an advantage in that we're getting to look at three programs that they're paying for the materials and all the training.
So we're getting the training free of cost now, but next year we won't have that availability.
We'll still have the availability. The companies will continue to support us in the study, and like I said, they'll go 2 years down the road.
Another win-win for you, Jill. Thank you so much for working so diligently. Appreciate it.
Anyone else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Donation from Long Island Recycling, East High School, Phil. Motion is Dave Aronow, second. Mike Boddy, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? So carried. Approval of BF Langen Consultants. Motion, please. Mr. Falco, second. Mr. Sayers, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Extension of contract for part-time capital projects auditor, Michael Kearns. Motion, please. Ms. Lankowski, second.
Second.
Mr. Falco, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. SEQR resolution? Motion?
Double.
Mike Boddy, second?
Second.
Mr. Falco, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. And that does it. We're down to the presentation discussion items. And we start off with the Sachem East baseball field.
Well, we really took an action item on that, basically to create the fill to extend the field to regulation length. And really addressing that through donations and a $13,000 expenditure on our part. And again, that's part of our litigation for the future, just so the audience knows.
Is that the whole discussion?
That was basically the whole discussion. I just wanted to make sure everyone is aware of that.
Move on to the East Drainage.
Question.
Go ahead.
Dr. Murphy, this is new fill that's put in the outfield, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I've asked this question 4 years ago about runoff and drainage, and I got an answer, but as we know, the drainage at East is horrible. Have they looked into the possibility when it rains and pours there, that that water runs off that new fill, that it's going to stay there?
There are some problems even with the, I think, and Guy Page will get to it with H2M in a few minutes. There's some issues just even with the front part of that field, that there's some erosion issues. So that'll have to be addressed in the whole discussion number two. Yes, there's some issues.
It is
right
being
away.
Addressed. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? All right, discussion number two, drainage issues.
So I guess Bruce to introduce Guy Page and the.
Sure, Guy Page, and he has some gentlemen that came with him. The report that we handed out to the board and to the community, they did an extensive review of the drainage issues at Sachem East High School. And these gentlemen will be talking about it. As mentioned earlier, we're woefully short in capacity. And Guy will talk in detail about it.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me? Oh. Good evening. There you go. Just want to thank the board for having us here this evening to go over the report that we prepared for the district. H2M was asked to evaluate drainage issues at East High School that have been apparent for a number of months or even 2 years. There were the issues that were brought up to H2M were 13 specific areas that the district wanted H2M to evaluate and make some recommendations of how to correct the conditions that exist. H2M retrieved the existing documentation that the district has on the site issues throughout the site, as well as physically visited the site and apparently reviewed each condition as an individual condition as well as an overall site condition. Here I have tonight with me is Steve Hyman, our senior civil engineer from our senior engineering division, and Matt Mullen, a civil engineer project manager that went out and evaluated each condition at the site. Based on evaluation of the site, we evaluated the amount of drainage that you have on site that should be addressing the normal drainage on a property of this type. We evaluated it in terms of a normal design criteria of designing for 2 inches of rainfall, criteria in sizing the drainage structures that are necessary for site drainage, for stormwater site drainage. What we found was the number of structures that you have in general on site is very inadequate to handle the minimum design criteria that an engineer would use on Long Island, and specifically in town of Brookhaven, to size drainage structures for site storm water runoff. In the report, we make recommendations as far as what is needed to improve the drainage and correct the deficiencies that you have at these various locations on site. And we also provided cost estimates in order to give you an idea, sense of the scale of what it's going to take to correct a lot of these issues. There was one area on site that we've asked the district. We felt it was important for us to present to the district that we have a separate geotechnical engineer evaluate the two areas of runoff at the track, the football field track perimeter. There are two areas that have significant runoff. Based on our evaluation and looking at the documentation that's provided us during the design, we feel there's a lot more that needs to be evaluated at that location before we can make an assessment of how to approach a corrective action to correct that condition. And really what I'd like to do is just hand it off to Matt and have Matt just discuss a little bit further of what we found at those locations.
The two areas in question are to the south and to the east of the running track, and there are several conditions we feel are possibly contributing to the slope failure and erosion, one of which is the potential placement of basic loose fill and maybe an inadequate compaction combined with the extensive flooding on the football field. The flooding, we feel, is related to some upland runoff that is ultimately winding up on the football field. These two factors, we feel, are what are contributing to the possible slope failure. In such a case, it's a bit beyond the technical expertise of our firm, so we have suggested the retaining the services of a geotechnical engineer to examine the condition a little more closely, and that's the proposal from B.F. Langen that you had approved earlier on.
Really, at this point, our direction to the board, or our recommendation to the board, is obviously the two areas that really need to be addressed immediately are the football field track perimeter issues, which obviously we're moving ahead to try to get the geotechnical person to look at. The other area is the bus loop. We had some severe drainage issues earlier in the fall. Those are the two areas that we really recommend moving ahead on. Obviously, we've provided some recommendations on the bus loop corrective measures and providing some additional drainage in that bus loop paved area to address that problem, which would correct that issue. Once we follow up with the geotech on the perimeter track area, obviously we'd come back to the board and make a recommendation of how best to correct that as with a permanent fix so that that issue doesn't continue on further.
Questions from the board? Mr. Falco.
I'm going to get back to that, the baseball field situation. As I understand it, we've put clean fill in there now, and that's on the northern part of the complex, correct? Most of the runoff, I'm assuming, runs north to south. That's the slope of the complex. My concern is if there's not going to be any drains, as I understand it, up on that field. If any of that water runs north, if it's sloped that way, is it possible we're going to lose some of that fill? And if I'm correct, there's a pretty good drop after that field. Well, it's similar to the drop next to the football field. So if we get a runoff from the baseball field, we could lose all that fill or a good portion of it down that hill. So I don't know if you've looked at that yet, but my concern is that we may lose that fill, you know, going into next season.
Well, we did look at that. The difference between the baseball field and the football field is that the runoff being generated on the slope north of the baseball field would only be what is falling on the field itself. Mm-hmm. In the football field, the flooding you're experiencing there is a result of what's falling on the field plus additional runoff from areas to the north, for which there is inadequate drainage. That is also landing on the football field. That's why you have 18 inches to 2 feet of water there. That's the main difference between the two areas.
So what you're saying then is then you don't foresee with normal or up to 2 inches of rain, any runoff going in the north direction is going to erode any of that new fill.
You could have some runoff from the baseball field going down that slope.
Right.
However, one of the recommendations we made is that the use of a slope stability type of product, geotech style or something similar in that manner, and some plantings to stabilize
it. It has been looked at, and you're okay.
Yeah.
Thank
yes.
you.
Other questions? Deborah?
So do you suggest that we take care of all the drainage issues first before we go ahead with this baseball project? I mean, putting in the fill for the fields. Do you think that is the best way to handle it?
There are what we foresee as priorities as far as a potential loss of additional pavement or other structures, such as the situation at the track. If you have additional slope failure, I see you have a potential to lose a portion of your new track. Also on the bus loop, you have a potential to lose some additional pavement and curbs. These will cost money to replace. It's not to say that you don't have other areas where you feel are maybe a priority to you for some other reason. That's not for us to determine.
No, that really wasn't my question. Partially my question, but I'm just saying, should we take care of all the drainage issues before we put in the clean fill for the baseball field?
Well, you have a situation on the baseball field right now on the slope. You're talking about the slope north of the baseball field? That situation is going to be the same whether you put the fill in or not. It's unstabilized now.
So it wouldn't matter either way?
No. I don't believe so.
I think the by getting the donation of the fill that you're going to be receiving, while that fill is going to be used to extend that field, at the time when that is being done, I think it would be prudent to spend the monies to make sure that that fill, when it's placed, is stable and correct the conditions at that time. Since that fill is going to be available in the near future, it might be appropriate to take care of that at the time when the fill is being delivered.
Yeah. I don't know. Those numbers in the calculations? The cost for the slope stabilization wouldn't be any different under either scenario.
Any other questions? Thank you, gentlemen. Commercial sponsorship, WSHR and website. Charlie?
The commercial sponsorship of WSHR and the website, it was just, this was raised by a number of people over the course of the past 2 years. And I know Mark Laura was looking at WSHR to see if there's, you can do just a perfunctory, nice, easy message to get some sponsorship. And when we checked the rules out for really a nonprofit organization, we would just have to keep it simple, whether it's the WSHR or the website, to just say this website or this program is sponsored by, and really not a big commercial, but just a plain sponsorship. And I know Chris looked into this for us, and it'd be just a way that we could generate some revenue to pay for some new equipment at WSHR, and it also could help with the upkeep of our website, which presently is maintained by one person, Jack Renda. And I know that if we could get a web slinger or somebody to help us out with that, it would take a tremendous load off Jack's plate. But just keeping it short and to the point, which is legal, and I'm not sure how much money this could generate, but it could be a little bit to help ease some of the financial burdens of these things that we have in our district.
Questions on that? No? Okay, thank you.
What I'd be looking for is if there's a board leaning to see if this is all right with everyone.
Is there a reason this can't wait for a leaning the next month's meeting?
No reason at all.
Yeah, why don't we wait?
You got it.
Okay. All right, the reorganization meeting date.
Have some information, and it's basically up to the board. And Carol, you could probably help out with this greatly, what the date is going to be. But we're recommending that we hold the next reorganization meeting on either Wednesday, July 5th or Thursday, July 6th. And it's really up to the board. And on top of that discussion, I'd just like to, we just have to know for the year about this point, if you want to continue with the rotating, for the rotation of the meetings district-wide, or do you want to just have some stability and have it in one location, and board discussions.
Charlie, is that something also that has to be settled tonight as far as the rotating meeting?
The reorganization really has to be.
Well, the date, I understand, but
the other one doesn't have to be. We could wait to the reorganization.
Yeah, wait for them on that, too.
But the only, okay, yeah, we'll be all right.
But on the date. Carol, so what are date options? All right, Wednesday or Thursday. All right, Thursday, Tony?
Thursday.
Thursday? Not you.
Not me.
Thursday? No, not you either. You gentlemen okay with Thursday? Okay, Thursday the 6th it is. All right, closing, we have a closing visitor, Kathy, is it Rienth? Rienth?
Good evening. My name is Kathy Reinth. I'm a resident of Sachem. I'm also an employee of Sachem. I'm just finishing up proudly my 6th year as a teaching assistant at Tamarack Elementary School. I'm here in representing the teaching assistants in the district. Our contract, as Bob spoke of before, did end last June. Personally, I understand where the district is coming from with contracts because I am a taxpayer. Most of your teaching assistants and aides, if you will, do live in the district, vote for you in the district as board members, and vote for our budget. We just had a budget approved. I'd like to see Sachem back on solid ground. In order to do this, I think we have to have a form of unity. In doing this, can I tell you that I strongly feel it takes a team to make education work. As hard as it is to get up here and speak with you, I have to tell you that I have many colleagues that stand behind me in feeling that they're not appreciated. When there is a budget approved, and we feel we're a big part of it, we were out there putting out vote yes signs for you and our district that we proudly represent, proudly work for. We're part of the special ed department only. We work with all students, but primarily with special needs students that require a lot of extra help. We have certified teachers in these positions, many with their masters, making $20,000 a year. I ask you, whatever it is that needs to have this contract settled as quickly as possible, that urgency be done. I'm not here to say how much the increase should be, that is up to you, but I am asking for the utmost respect and trust that we can have in you to move this forward. Put us on the agenda, let us know that it does matter to you so we can move forward. Again, it takes a team to work. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Future agenda items? Deborah?
I have a couple things here. Future agenda, I'd like to discuss our student absentee policy. It's my understanding that some children skip classes and they're allowed to do that approximately 8 times before there's any type of reprimand or a note going home. I mean, is this fact? I mean, can a student miss 8 classes without parents being notified?
You want, before we get into a discussion on it, this is for a future agenda item. Do you want this up for discussion on future agenda items?
Yes, okay. I would like to discuss that.
Otherwise, we're discussing it on this agenda. So that's an item. Anything else?
I'd like to discuss the student leadership course. I want to consider having it a core course, making it mandatory for every student in the district to at least take this one year out of their high school year. I'd also like to discuss the Summerfield reconfiguration, the rezoning. And I'd also like to discuss the restructure of the SLC, Sachem Legislative Committee.
Okay. Everybody okay with these things? Yes? Okay. Dr. Murphy, you have those?
Yes.
All right. Next meeting, Tuesday, June 20th, 8 p.m. right here. Motion to go into exec session. We are not coming back for any items. Mr. Falco, a second. Deborah. All in favor? Opposed? So carried.
Carol, are we here or down there? Library.